It's interesting, isn't it, that no sooner does something get invented than someone thinks to hide it. Take Candid Microphone, for example, which premiered on ABC Radio in June of 1947.
The Candid Microphone, the program that brings you the secretly recorded reactions of ordinary people to all kinds of situations. No one ever knows when he's talking into the Candid Microphone.
Right around the time magnetic tape recorders first became available in the U.S., Candid Microphone listened in on people's conversations, played pranks on them, and regaled radio audiences with their spontaneous reactions.
We dropped a wallet with $11 in it where they couldn't help seeing it. And then we waited in our office for something to happen.
I found a wallet here, and I'm going to keep it.
I was right alongside of you, man. You almost knocked me over trying to pick it up.
That's all right. I found it, and I'm going to keep it, and you can't do nothing about it.
Very quickly back then, in 47, people took offense.
Well, I don't like it because I think it's snooping. Out and out snooping.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
In your letter, you said it a little more strongly. You said you thought we were a bunch of dirty, sneaking spies.
It's worth mentioning that this was a period of sharply divided politics. Close scrutiny of leftists and other suspicious characters was accelerating. So something about the Candid Microphone rang a certain bell.
So you get these people in their homes, extemporaneously, answering questions.
But the objections didn't amount to much, and just a year later, they put it on TV, then in its infancy, and called it Candid Camera. They knew enough to call it Candid Camera and not Secret Camera or Hidden Camera. And the rest is television history. What is so fascinating to us about the candid, the secret, and the hidden? Just ask psychiatrist Gail Saltz. Forget about the politics. It's just a human drive. In the human psyche, privacy is practically meant to be invaded.
Because it's dangerous and thrilling. I mean, those things go together, being stimulated and being excited, and that makes it appealing, really. It is stimulating to people, the idea of finding out about someone else's personal, private, secret stuff. As much as it may be scary, it's also exciting.
The excitement and the entertainment factor haven't been lost on the movie business, certainly.
So I've seen it through that window. I've seen bickering and family quarrels.
Hitchcock knew all about the lure of the hidden story seen through a rear window.
What is it you're looking for?
I just want to find out.
And untangling a particular recorded conversation became the obsession of an audio surveillance technician.
What a stupid conversation.
Stand, please, I'm trying to work.
In a movie which saw him finally ripping out his own walls, looking for a mic, bugging his very own self. And a current German film, a critical hit here in the U.S., looks at a moment in history and how one man's surveillance maneuver affects the lives of others, as well as his own conscience.
Der OTS steht ab morgen früh auf dein Zeichen für die Verwanzung bereit.
It was George Orwell who gave us the best words for it.
I think it's probably just more like Big Brother watching what's going on than art.
The menacing character in the old classic 1984, published in 1949, still best represents our fears, apparently.
The obvious Big Brother.
Judging from the number of times the name came up at the Whitney Museum exhibition, Profiling, now on view. In one piece called Taken by David Rokeby, which uses the most up-to-date surveillance technology, you enter into a room and see yourself on a huge screen. After a while, the screen places a label on your image. You might be branded uncertain or complicit. I got the label carried away.
It's really unnerving.
Rebecca, who was visiting from Chicago, was convinced there was a profiling logic to it all.
I'm curious about the words that are chosen, too. How does it read the body language?
The other piece, by Amy Alexander and a team of artists, has a video camera turned on the museum goers on one floor, monitored on another. Upstairs, people are watching, sitting on a nice comfy bench. But downstairs, the watched ones don't even know the camera's on them.
Excuse me, did you know that you're on camera right now and that there's a monitor in the lobby displaying your picture?
Oh, well, I know I'm always on camera somewhere, so I don't even think about it.
Does it bother you?
Does it bother me? No. Why should it bother me?
Susanna, visiting, was not amused.
Remember Johnson? Remember Nixon? Wiretapping. And we're back where we were. No different.
Big Brother is watching.
There it is again. So maybe it's the images created by writers, artists, and filmmakers that have to bring this alive for us, because it's taken over, almost to the point of invisibility.
We take it for granted as we take rain and sunshine for granted.
Author Jonathan Rabin. His novel, published earlier this year, is called Surveillance.
It's not just the NSA surveilling us or storing our phone calls in its databases. It's us Googling each other, like I Googled you yesterday.
Of course. A radio producer Googles an author and invites him to speak on the radio. He Googles the producer before he accepts. Meanwhile, his novel is all about the shifting line between what is private and what is not.
Whether it's the 11-year-old girl keeping a secret notebook on her mother's drinking, whether it's the mother keeping tabs on the author she's profiling, everybody in this book is surveilling.
So it is for us.
We have changed in the ways in which we get information, and most particularly changed in this kind of checking up, skeptical, suspicious version of the world that I think is an infection of our times.
As New York City contemplates adding 500 additional surveillance cameras to form a so-called ring of steel around itself, it looks as if when it comes to surveillance, we're starting to invent things faster than we want to hide them. Hiding, it seems, is no longer the issue anyway. The candid microphone has given way to the highly visible security device. Maybe it's even more seductive when you know it's there. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.